Hi, this is Mr. Brown. Welcome to another edition of See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. In the studio, once again, my buddy,
Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, movie mama.
And that's movie mama trying to be funny.
No lah, no cue.
No cue at my point. You
the cue outside at the pool table.
Okay, hello.
And thanks for joining us again. We had a great time at the 300 gala premiere. Was that good or not?
It was fantastic. Go listen to today's show. Yesterday's show.
That day show
about the 300 that we did specially for you 1 hour after the premiere.
Yeah, man, it was late. Okay, we were home by 4 a.m.
Yeah, and we got stuck in the car park for 1 hour.
Yeah, it was bad. Never park inside Lido after a late show because everybody's trying to get out. Okay, park outside.
Yeah, I got out in 5 minutes.
Mama got out like fast, right? Then like yeah. Reach home, right? Then call us from home, right?
No, SMS lah. I'm not so bad lah. I didn't rub it in that much.
We have a new segment today. We have 3 movies to cover. We're going to talk about Blood Diamond.
Music and lyrics.
Curse of the Golden Boobies. I mean, Curse of the Golden Flowers.
Flower. And we also have a new segment. We're going to call it What's Showing This Week. So what we're going to do is just take the newspaper up. Look at stuff that's...
Must rustle.
Then y'all can hear.
Proof.
Yeah, and we will tell you what's in the cinemas and pick out the ones we feel like talking about and give you like a one-line, two-line summary of what we think the movie is about or whether it's good or not, okay?
Yep.
So let's start this today's show with Pursuit of Happiness.
Well, we covered Pursuit of Happiness in one of our previous episodes.
Very nice.
Brown loved it.
I loved it.
Still haven't watched it.
Yeah. It's a very friendly movie. It's something that you should go and watch. Nothing heavy. Will Smith acted well. Loved his hair.
I love the kid's hair. He's got a cool fro.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, like father, like son.
Kid was very good also. Real son, okay? Great movie. The other movie that jumps out at us, Ghost Rider, box office hit.
Yes! Nicolas Cage hair. It's back.
Gay one, blah one. Very bad, like, reviews. Critics panning it, giving it 2 stars. Friend came back from the movie, like, hated it. It was bad. Dumb movie, but great effects.
Yeah, and apparently it's doing quite well in the box office.
So they must be doing something right. Either that, we're not the target audience.
Maybe it's just Eva Mendes.
That, and I think it's targeted at younger, like, 15-year-olds. Apparently it's a good movie to go there to watch in its absolute silliness. But don't expect too much. That's what everyone's telling me.
Wait for Spider-Man 3.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
We saw the HD 7 minutes worth of Spider-Man 3 just now.
Is it?
Yes.
7 minutes.
In HD. Way spoiler.
Go search the web.
Way it's spoiler.
A lot of spoilers. Is it a lot of spoilers?
Yeah, so much so that they were like, I'm walking away now. The guy's in the office huddling around my computer. Like, I'm walking away and I can't watch this now. It's too much spoiler. But yes, Spider-Man 3. But Ghost Rider, you know, does what it's supposed to do. Does it efficiently and obviously making money. Lah. Apparently there's a sequel coming.
For Ghost
Serious?
Rider?
Yes, that's what I heard. No.
So the hair works out for Nicolas Cage. Like.
I know.
You know why there'll never be a Chinese Ghost Rider movie?
Why? Leh?
Because they have to hop around.
They can't ride bike. Not so glam.
Not so glam.
And of course, coming up, opening this week, 300.
What more can we say about 300?
Watch.
Go.
Listen to our 300 special. Go and download it from seewhatshow.com.
I know y'all been raving about it, but one thing that I don't know whether y'all out there noticed or not. The lady, Gorgo, she reminded me too much of her. Okay, a beautiful, mature Keira Knightley. She got more breasts.
Sorry.
No, it's true.
She was better than
that. That's insulting to Lena Headey.
No, it doesn't matter because the thrust of the chin, the indignant look.
Please, Keira Knightley is like girl. This is like
that's
woman.
That's why I said correct. I said mature, beautiful. Mature, beautiful.
But more beautiful than Keira Knightley.
Correct.
But they are both British.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, most of the cast was British on 300.
Like, mature, beautiful, but they're both British.
Oh, but. Okay.
Okay, anyway, yes.
Enough of what's on this week in the cinemas. You're going to tell us about music and lyrics with Hugh Grant and what's her face?
Drew Barrymore. Drew Barrymore. This is the first time we're seeing her since, I think, 51st Dates, you know? Because Curious George, she just played a voice. And so the movie basically is about music and lyrics and the pairing of the two, you see?
I met that guy from that band you used to like. He invited me to come see him perform tonight.
Gary, I'm going out! Oh, my God! Now, girls, be honest. Are these pants too tight?
So you have Hugh Grant as the kind of washed-up singer. From the 80s.
Huge Grant. I can't stand him, okay? I just want to say it, get it out of the way.
Is it the Rye Green, is it?
Okay, I cannot, the floppy hair.
No more, dude. Not so floppy.
I don't think he ever got away from that scandal of his.
Yeah. He got too much floppy in another department.
Ooh.
Then, well, when you watch this movie, you know what I mean? So he's this, again, he is one of the members from this 80s band called Popma. You know, they had this hit song called Pop Goes My Heart. And, you know, as much as I don't like pop music, this song stuck in my head because it's the first thing you see when you walk into the cinema, and it's the first, I think, 4 minutes of the show. So it was, quite cool to see him in tight white pants and the hip thrusting and stuff like that.
Ugh. That's like Earth, Wind & Fire.
Hugh Grant hip thrusting.
In tight white pants. Yeah, but it was actually quite funny. I loved the video, but like I said, that was the best thing about it. So
the video is at the beginning of the movie.
The beginning.
Then after that, that's it.
Yeah, so the best part of the movie lasts through the first 5 minutes, sadly.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, to me. Okay, but anyway, I finished with the plot first. Then after that, he is desperately trying to revive his career, and he gets his chance to write a hit song for Cora. Cora is like, in the movie itself, she's like the Britney Spears meets Shakira meets, I don't know, other blonde hottie that sings stuff about mysticism and shakes her booty and like, you know, I love, she comes out with this big Buddha and stuff like that, and then she just dances around like, Jewel doesn't dance.
No, she doesn't.
She tries to.
Blasphemy. No, like, Jewel does not dance.
Yeah, Jewel, how can you?
Jewel writes poetry.
She is a poet.
Yeah.
She got poetry. That's another topic for another show.
So anyway, and he hits a wall because, you know, apparently the one who writes all the good stuff was his partner that, you know, when the band split up, you know, he went his own way. So comes Drew Barrymore. Now, I love her.
I like Drew Barrymore. Yay! Yeah.
Drew Barrymore fan.
Me too.
Okay, don't do that if you ever meet her, okay? So, Drew Barrymore, she is looking her best, I think, in this movie. I mean, she's lost some weight. Not that it has to do with anything looking her best, but she looks radiant. Oh. And again, she comes in, of course, as the... got a bit of quirk, got a bit of goofiness, you know.
Love, take one.
I'm getting really nervous.
You'll be fine. You just use your normal, nice voice that I've heard so much of in the last 3 days.
It's like, my throat's closing up.
But I feel that the script didn't do her justice in that sense, She was so much more adorable in 51st Dates. Okay, granted the character, but now she's Plant Girl, okay?
But she was uber adorable in, like, E.T.
That's very far away.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's
when you're like five.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, she was cute then, but now hopefully a different kind of cute. Steve.
Okay.
So in order to, and then she herself, somehow she's got this talent, you see, and he discovered it, so he's trying to get her in and to write together and be his lyricist.
Oh, I see.
And so the mystery is why she don't want to write, like,
she can write lyrics and he can't.
Well, she can write in general, you see, and somehow he found that she could rhyme quite well.
Oh, I see.
And stuff like that.
Bad heart witch.
No,
but with some magic I just might switch.
I would love to talk to you about maybe writing some lyrics.
I'm just here to cater to the plants.
That one is plastic.
Anyway, don't need to say spoilers, obviously something happens between them. I mean, it's Hugh Grant and Drew Barrymore. And,
romantic comedy.
And it's Mark Lawrence at the helm as well. He is the director of 2 Weeks Notice.
With Hugh Grant.
Yeah, he seems to be a fan as well. And so obviously this is your, I would say, typical... romantic comedy, okay? But I felt it was a bit loose. Now, the highlight for me, besides the first few minutes in the music video, was actually the battle of the 80s has-beens. Now, this was a show, and the premise is that, I mean, there was one scene where Hugh was actually approached to be part of this show, you know, with Debbie Gibson and a few others.
Real Debbie Gibson show up?
No, la, don't have. That's the thing, you see. I spent the whole entire music and lyric show, right, waiting, please show me a bit of Battle of the 80s has-beens. I want to see them. Because they're actually supposed to be, it's a boxing thing.
Oh.
I want to see.
They fight.
And, oh, wow. But we didn't get to see, la, bloody.
I would have loved to see Debbie
Axl
Gibson.
Rose beat up Debbie Gibson, oh, yeah. Or the other way around.
What's the other one? The other time, Debbie Gibson, that period, what's the other singer that was quite popular, the girl?
Jason Donovan?
No, girl. Oh, girl.
Cindy. No, she's
been. Her era one, yeah, I forgot already. But they were all singing this bubblegum stuff at the same time. Wow, fight.
Martika?
Yeah. Who?
It's going to bug me for the rest of the night. Yeah, I'll find out.
So to me, those were the two highlights, la, but not really highlight because I wanted to watch some of it. There wasn't any of it. Maybe they couldn't afford it in budget. La. Or I think none of the stars would have agreed to it too, I suppose. I just thought it was really funny. But in the end, I think Hugh did a decent job doing what he does best. The bumbling, the charismatic, quietly heroic sort of a, you know, when you don't expect him to come up and stand up for you, he does. And everyone goes, yay. And then there was this lady beside me, obviously a Hugh fan. Like, she kept laughing throughout the whole thing. Oh. But the truth is, it's not that funny. But the way she was laughing made me feel guilty that I didn't find it funny. As if I was some cynical person sitting there after watching too many romantic comedies. Like, but apparently some of the audience liked it. So I think if you're a fan of these two actors, Hugh and Drew, then go ahead. And if you like hot chicks, check out, what's her name? Hayley Bennett, I think. Yeah, Hayley, who plays Cora. She's got a very unique face, like. It's like a bit on the side of those you want to slap, but she's still cute in the way that you can't really make up your mind about her, la.
So is this a good date movie? Like chick flick, like, you know, have to satisfy the wife's desire to watch a chick flick?
I don't think so, because that kind of put me off. I think the chemistry between Hugh and Drew, I don't know whether because they edited some good scenes out because no time or whatever, but it wasn't as convincing. Okay. I mean, then she goes watching his plans. Next thing you know, they're writing songs. Then they write one song overnight, then fall in love. Oops. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, y'all knew it was going to happen anyway. So
no, it was a spoiler. Expected. It's a spoiler.
Yeah, you mean? Oh, never mind.
Comedy funny, you know? As a comedy?
No.
Are you?
I think not really funny. I think it's your typical. Then you do it inside because when you laugh too loud, then people paise. Yeah.
Woman sitting next to me didn't mind.
Yeah, but yeah, she didn't mind, but she was obviously a Hugh fan. Because every time he came out, she was like giggling. And, I mean, people like him, la. I don't hold that against anyone who likes him, but I would giggle more for Drew. She looks gorgeous here, but I just feel that it was too rushed. Everything seemed very rushed. So I didn't feel it.
Okay, so Mama didn't like the movie. If you guys have other opinions about the movie and you've watched it, do write us at Tell Us. That's Tell Us as one word at seewhatshow.com. Give us your opinion. That's our email address. Why you laugh?
No. I laugh. No. I say after show, family show.
Sounds like something else, does it?
No, it doesn't sound like it. It's just that when you put it down, it sounds like, you know.
Toulouse?
No. What? I'll tell you later. I 5 minutes.
Okay, we're going to talk about Blood Diamond next.
So what are you? Smuggler?
You're a journalist. Sometimes you're here to make a difference, huh?
And you're here to make a buck.
You know, in America it's bling bling, but out here it's bling bang.
I watched this.
No, it's another Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hey, I tell you, not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad, not bad. Okay, Blood Diamond is set in the early 1990s in Sierra Leone. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep.
In
Sierra
Africa. Torn apart by Civil War. And Leonardo is this guy called Danny Archer. He's like, yeah, I know the name, right? Cannot make it. Where do they come up with these names? And then, like, Ghost Rider was what, Johnny Blaze.
Hey, don't touch Johnny Blaze.
Yeah, but that one is...
Danny Archer and Johnny Blaze in the same movie would be quite funny. But Leonardo is this guy who is a white Zimbabwean ex-mercenary gun runner kind. Zimbabwean? Zimbabwean, yeah, correct. Right?
Okay.
From Zimbabwe, yeah. Or Rhodesia. And his buddy, yeah, is this Solomon Vandy. This
the Jimon Honso.
How
guy,
do you pronounce
right?
his name? Digimon.
By this time, people forgot the first thing you said every day because I have.
Digimon Honso, okay. Set in the early 1990s. I'm going to kill you. Okay. Blood Diamond is set in Africa, Sierra Leone. It's got civil war going on. And Leonardo is Danny Archer, who is an ex-mercenary. Okay, white guy, white African fella. And Solomon Vandy is this black Mandy fisherman. Okay, two of them go after this big pink diamond. That's the plot. Ken?
Black and pink, okay, Ken.
Black, white, and black, pink.
This
all
is
the
like
colors.
United colors of Benetton and yeah.
Solomon Vandy is Digimon Honso. I don't know how to pronounce
Digimon.
Digimon, no, like,
what's his brother? Pokemon.
Pokemon. So bad.
I have nothing to do with
catch
this,
all them
guys.
Diamonds. Okay, I have to say, Leonardo acted very well in this movie. Okay, he did this gun runner thing with the heart of gold. You know, that whole cat scoundrel with the heart of gold. And it's a little bit edgier than Indiana Jones kind of cat. Like, yeah, quite kill people. Indiana Jones and kill people. Not really. So, it lifted the movie, you know, above your regular action flick. And really, okay, whatever is trying to tell you about diamonds, conflict diamonds, okay, it's an action flick. And you got to view it in that way. Don't expect political statements. But it got lah. But it's still action flick. Conflict diamonds, for the benefit of our listeners, are like diamonds which are traded, mined and sold to finance terrorism and civil war in you know, in Africa. And they are not supposed to be sold because there's this sort of like worldwide embargo on them, so as to discourage you know, this the trade of these diamonds, because they finance the buying of arms for atrocities like civil war and all that stuff in Africa. So he does these accents very well, the whole Zimbabwean accent. I don't know what it's supposed to sound like, but it's very believable. Like, you know, when you listen to him, it's like he does these accents very, very smoothly.
Youssef, get something for me, huh? You bring the plane, come first. Are you crazy? You get for pay me first for them. This no fine, huh? This no fine.
Nah, this no more you get. Pumui.
And you know boys then can use one all rotten AK them against them government troop and then new weapons them, huh?
Maybe I could just kill you and take away what you bring book.
And you get one more dead body instead of aeroplane way full with grenade launchers. Something I go to them government, huh? Then
and he does also with such ease, you just gotta believe him. Yeah, yeah, okay, that's an African accent. And then he was like, in the part, it was Irish, so he's got this whole accent thing going on.
The white one.
Yeah. Danny Archer, Leonardo, not Digimon.
So all Leo really had to do to become a credible actor was to kill somebody in a movie.
Yeah. And then, grow beard.
Didn't he do that in Romeo already?
Grow beard. Then he had.
Grow beard. Oh, yeah.
Oh, not pretty boy.
Then got eye bags.
No, lah, but in.
Look rugged.
In Romeo and Juliet, he only killed the guy from Lost.
Okay, his co star is Jennifer Connelly. Is that how you pronounce her?
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. She's a reporter who becomes like Leonardo's conscience and love interest and idealistic and all that stuff. She's aged a lot.
Really?
Like, she aged a lot. I don't know whether it's...
Why Leonardo become rugged? This and then when it comes to the lady, she aged.
Aged, yeah.
Hey, but she's like Lao Chiu la.
She's such a hottie, right? She was such a hottie in Rocketeer. But like, here, cannot make it. Then, no chemistry. The two of them, like, might as well don't even have a love story because the two of them had no chemistry whatsoever.
So, Danny.
Archer.
Archer. When did you first start moving stones? Was it Angola? Then you did the whole mercenary thing. Is that fun?
But as an actress in her role, not kinda instead like of just Leo's love interest, how is she?
Okay lah.
Okay, yeah.
So no chemistry at all.
They didn't stretch her at all. I mean, she was such a good actress in what's the other one? Beautiful Mind.
Oh yeah.
She was better than there. Right, she was there, right?
She was there.
And she was even better in Rocketeer. Here they underutilized her.
Script lah.
No chemistry, just no like Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise.
And you never feel the sexual tension. I mean, like, there was more sexual tension between like Leonardo and Digimon Man.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So this movie is like one bit buddy movie, one bit Indiana Jones, a little bit of documentary, all thrown in together, a bit of love. You know, all pau ka liao kind of movie.
So basically your typical Hollywood.
Yeah. But very slick. I mean, you know, they don't let up the action and the pace. They don't let the movie sag, and it's enjoyable. It was really enjoyable, and it was doesn't preach too much. You walk out, you feel like you still think twice about the diamond you want to buy. Like, is it convict diamond? Should I stop buying diamonds? Because it's very evil. The backdrop of Africa, you see the kids shooting people, killing people. That's very sad.
So next time you buy diamond,
yeah. But according to the movie, right, the convict diamonds get mixed into the regular diamonds by the diamond industry. So it's hard to tell. The only thing I have an issue with this movie is this, right? And this is my complaint about all the Edward Zwick movies, the director. Okay, he did Last Samurai. Why must it always be about the redemption of this white guy? Okay, the Last Samurai was Tom Cruise have to be redeemed in Japanese culture. Then here, no, Africa suffering all that. Wow, damn tragic. But it's not about the Africa guy. It's about this white guy who has to be a, become good, like find his heart of gold. Like, you know, that part.
But I think you gotta. I mean, to me, realistically, la, these are Hollywood movies. What?
It's a formula.
It's a formula. And it's their own. I mean, wait till these other countries make their own stuff in that sense, if they want that, because no matter what, politics is going to get involved.
True. I think, you know, I highly recommend Blood Diamond. Go watch it. If you can get a DVD when it comes out, get it as well. Go and buy it. It's a good DVD to watch. I want to see if there are any extras, but it's a good movie. So highly recommended by See What Show, Blood Diamond. Okay, our last movie for today's show is Curse of the Golden Flowers.
Flower.
这句话什么意思?母后不停地嗅菊花。你父王最喜欢的就是菊花。你还想干什么?
Or as Steve likes to call it,
Curse of the Golden Boobies.
Actually, almost everybody I know calls it that. What's the Chinese name? How do you pronounce the Chinese name?
I'm not even going to go there. Remember my escapade with the other one?
Man Tou.
Chen.
What is it?
Something. Huang Jing Jia.
Something Hua. Okay, I know Hua.
Okay. But anyway.
No, there's no Hua in the title.
Ah,
anyway.
Shit. Then what flowers? Flower.
Curse of the Golden Flower. We watched the DVD.
Yep.
Not the cinema.
Curse of the Golden Flower is Zhang Yimou's $45 million and China's entry for Best Foreign Film. But it didn't get nominated for Best Foreign Film for the Oscars. It got nominated for Best Costume Design.
What's the plot?
The movie is set in 928 during the Five Dynasty and Ten Kingdoms period. Don't ask me what dynasty. The only dynasty I can think of.
Tang.
Ah?
Yeah, set in Tang Dynasty.
Oh, okay.
That was an opulent period, prosperous period of China's
very
history.
Very prosperous, yeah. It tells the story of the double-dealing royal family and their personal agenda. Yeah. But I found it a slightly complex storyline because there were so many levels of interaction between the characters. The storylines were interwoven from the king to the queen to their son to their previous relationships. So there's a lot of character drama in it and a lot of breasts on display.
Yeah. Zhang Yimou went OTT with the boobies. Everybody was like wearing half cup then... Then on top, then...
Chow Yun-Fat go in.
I don't want to thankfully, see no. Chow Yun-Fat's movies.
Yeah, so Chow Yun-Fat is this emperor who is poisoning his empress, which is Gong Li. And because she's having an affair with the stepson, who is the crown prince, and there are three sons in there. The second son is Jay Chou. That's all you need to know.
Oh, man.
Most important character among the sons.
As much as I don't like Jay Chou in this movie, he should really pout a lot less. Like in Initial D, he had that.
Look, Jay Chou cannot act. Cannot full stop, act full stop. Like, half the time I was watching him, I was waiting for him to break into an R&B song.
The soldiers start dancing.
Or music video, you know, like one of his music videos. Or he was trying to emote, and then he was as wooden as some of the spears they were using in the movie. He's like, trying to feel emotional. Then you see, oh God, that's bad. The last time I saw that was a MediaCorp, like, TV show. Music and R&B. And then I was thinking, please put the helmet back on. Put the helmet back on. You know.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that his face, the beard. His beard.
Got standard not?
No. It's like,
no, it looked painted on.
He keep wanting to shave it. And
it looked painted on.
Yeah, he's got a modern face. So it doesn't work, you see. He doesn't have a period drama face, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's got this modern face, so cannot make it. So I put the helmet back on, it's better, hide your face. It'll look more drama.
But you have to give it to Chow Yun-Fat.
Oh man, he's too good.
I thought it was excellent in this movie because he deviously portrayed his role as king. When he comes on the screen, you look at him, you can see his grandeur. You can see he knows he's king, don't mess with him.
Because
I've always loved his screen presence, you know.
Yeah, he got a lot.
I loved him since Along the Gusu.
And oh man, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to be on the screen too long. In fact, he had less screen time than most of his the other actors in the show.
Yeah.
But every time he's on the screen, it's like, it sticks. Mm. It sticks,
just
stands
wins
out.
You
yeah.
Over.
Yeah, this movie also reunites Zhang Yimou and his muse, or one time muse, Gong Li.
Yeah, man, my wife was saying, hey, they work together already. Yeah. Said, so, yeah, oh, got a tanjia ma. Boyfriend, girlfriend breakup, still have to zuo gang ma.
Yeah.
But I felt that Gong Li was a bit wasted in this movie.
She was busy being pouty, I thought. Very grouchy, grouchy.
Pouty like with her lips and pouty elsewhere.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
I hate it when they just objectify women like that, you know? Especially yeah, yeah. Gong Li, you know, she's classic.
They wanted to do the complex woman thing, but it didn't work. It just didn't work. Basically, the plot is like those soap opera period drama you see from Taiwan and China that go on forever. Many episodes.
But with bigger budget, so can afford nicer costumes.
No, not only that. They compress the twist, turns and intrigue into like 2 hours. So, I've seen all this before, but you know, over like 20-week period, not 2 hours.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but beyond that, it was a beautiful, beautiful movie. The colours were so Zhang Yimou.
Yeah,
if you've seen his other stuff like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Every scene has so much life in the images that you see. But to me, it lacks something.
Hard,
Hard.
Yeah. Very hard. It lacked hard. It left me cold. I watched it, I went, wow, beautiful. Look at it, cinematography, beautiful. Costumes, wow. A lot of people, wow. Everyone dressed opulent, da-da-da. But left me cold. And I know he was trying to do the whole gold and jade on the outside proverb, you know, and then rotting and decay on the inside thing. But I just didn't feel that connection to the heart of the movie. Let me quote.
And one more thing.
Mm.
Who needs CGI?
Yeah. I read they used 800 to 1,000 extras for the movie. No need CGI.
You don't need CGI when you have the whole Chinese army at your disposal.
Cheaper to do that in China.
PLA, yeah. They used the PLA.
Yeah.
And the battle scene was incredible. That was impressive.
But after watching the 300...
I don't compare. It's a different movie. This one...
After watching the 300...
It's different. This one is... The 300 is, you know, stylized violence.
People acting it out.
This one,
the camera and stuff.
The fight, the clash of the armies, with the gold and the silver that they wore, right? It's like a dance. It's very... It's not the same kind of battle scene.
Yeah,
it's
looked very choreographed.
It's beautiful, lor.
Your kung fu movie, but pretty.
They took a lot of trouble with the detail. The costumes, you could see a collar only, but Zhang Yimou was saying that even though you can only see one collar, the guy was actually wearing 4 layers, and all 4 layers had detail. They already embroidered everything inside. So that's the amount of trouble they took with the costumes. So even though you don't see it all, they did it. All
maybe
the
that's why Jay Chou cannot act.
Cannot
act. Maybe somewhere itchy.
Yeah, cannot scratch. And the emperor and empress costumes took 40 artisans 2 months to make.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was very heavy when they filmed it. It's crazy. They built the set. That's the other thing. They didn't just build a set for the palace, not the inside room.
The last part where they were having the ceremony, the festival,
that was the set.
Looked like National Day Parade. Every all the army all standing down there.
It was the whole palace, and the imperial grounds was the set. The angmohs apparently told Gong Li when they came, you guys are crazy. She was laughing. She said, they came and looked at the way we did this set. It's like, you guys are crazy. You guys are nuts.
Yeah, but I also want to know, how many flowers did they use?
A lot. The chrysanthemums were real. And I don't know. I mean, they didn't get Best Foreign Movie, but they got nominated for Best Costume. And maybe that's kind of a very apt way of describing the movie. La. Costume, very nice. Very nice to look at. Not much meat.
But they didn't even win what?
They didn't even win that. They lost to
some French,
Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And so very sad, lor. Ho kuan bo jia. Bland. That's basically what you were saying.
Yeah. Dry. Bland.
I'm thinking that there'll be a lot of tea afterwards.
All the chrysanthemums.
Yeah, no, they won't waste what? Chinese don't waste what?
I don't think you can drink it after all that blood.
Oh, that's blood,
Oh, fake yeah, blood.
Yeah, okay.
That's our CIA show for today. I hope you enjoyed the 3 movies we covered. Music and Lyrics, Blood Diamond,
Curse of the Golden Flower.
Yeah, we enjoyed sharing that with you. And join us next week for more See What Show. And the podcast feed is feeds.feedburner.com/See What Show.
And let us know what you think about some of these shows. I'm sure you guys have watched it before.
Yep.
And stuff that you want us to talk about as well.
Write us at
tell us at seewhatshow.com.
She breaks up laughing when we say that. There must be something naughty in it.
And go to our forum.
Yeah, we have a forum. Go and sign up.
A forum.
Yeah, www.seewhatshow.com/forum. Very easy. Go and sign up and go and talk about movies and everything under the sun there. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Bye, Mr. Brown.
Good night. Oh yeah. By the time they watch this, okay. Bye.
They watch this.
Okay.
Bye.
Movie Mama's Dog. Bye bye.
A production of See What Show.com.